Hi, I'm Chris Walker, and it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 26th of October, 2013, Waiheke Radio's 5th birthday. On Saturday, the 26th of October, I spoke to Andrew, Millie and Peter from the Waiheke Working Sail Project. I spoke with the opinionated islanders Alan Knight and Alex Stone, looking back over 5 years of their opinions on Waiheke issues and events, and we finished up with a live performance in the studio from Waiheke's Katie Soljak. Most of us know that in the in case of emergency, we should have a little box of stuff secreted away, and some of us even have it, some bottled water and a can of baked beans and all the rest of it. But some people are going the extra mile when it comes to being prepared for disaster. And working on a project called the Waiheke Working Sail Project, and here to talk about, we've got Millie and Andrew Watkins, and we've also got And Pete, you need to get a lot closer to the microphone than that.
Alright.
Get right in front of it.
How's that for you?
Hold on, let's turn some things on. There we go, we should have that one, and we should have you now. There we go.
Good as gold.
There we go, we can hear you. So, welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, and you've got two things going on this weekend, haven't you? So we're here to talk about the Waiheke Working Sail Project, but also about the tall ships, which is going on this weekend as well.
Yeah, the tie-in with the tall ships is that really the heart of our working sail project is Bernard Rhodes, who's been building boats his whole life, and one of his projects was to build a one-quarter replica tall ship, and so that one-quarter tall ship is sailing with the big ships, and so it sailed into the harbor yesterday, and so it's berthed at the Maritime Museum. And so Bernard and the two Foster Christie boys, who are also apprentices, are in the over in the middle of it right now. And and this morning at 11:30 there will be there's a man who sings sea shanties who sailed down with them, and he's there singing at 11:30. So there's a lot going down at the wharf, and we're tied into it because the Coriolanus is the first restoration that Bernard did. And what we are looking at now is another restoration, and it's of another historic boat, the Kate, which is 129 years old.
So when people, think of the tall ships, and I saw them myself yesterday coming in from town, and I think it's for a lot of people it's kind of a nostalgic thing, isn't it? Looking and seeing these beautiful constructions from the past and so on. But you're very much thinking about this being something for the future rather than the past.
It's true. There is a worldwide resurgence in sail freight and working sail. So we have coastal shipping going on. On the coastal United States, especially up in Maine, and inland waterways through Lake Champlain down to New York City, actually carrying the goods from up north in the farms down to New York City. And then there's a lot of things happening in the inland waterways throughout the U.S. So there's we're a part of a global effort. Certainly in the Netherlands, it's pretty big. So that's how we felt. We felt that, recreational sailing was really all that we could see around, and we wanted to just put a flag in the sand and start to look at sailing as a utility. And so the Kate is an old vessel that was used to ship goods around the Haraki Gulf, and actually it was out on the West Coast as well. So so that's what we're looking at. It's just starting to aim towards, away from recreational sailing and towards a different way. And so for Waiheke, it means also the development of a shipbuilding mini-industry.
Is there scope for this idea, a working sails and sail freight by sail, to be more than a niche? I can kind of see this fitting into, the person who's got their kind of organic free-range, hand-knitted woolen jersey and wants their free-range organic, wheat and sailed in by sail, and that gives it just that extra degree of right-on-ness. But how do you take it beyond that niche into something which actually is applicable in the modern kind of market?
So I think there is a number of levels to that. I mean, we're very much aware that you can't beat the efficiency and cost effectiveness of diesel fuel when you're shipping things around. And that's going to be the case for a while yet. But the trend is just in one direction, that the fossil fuels are going to get more and more expensive. And people are always going to be looking around for how they can do things more efficiently. Now, at that point, at some point in the future, we'll be looking at sailing vessels or hybrid vessels, if you think of them that way, that are quite efficiently designed and custom purpose built for transferring stuff around. So there'll be the trailer freight devices of the next few decades. But to get to that point, we want to have the skills, the understanding, the talent already developing. So one of the reasons for looking at existing sailing vessels and restoring older ones is because we have a lot of talent on the island, not just Bernard, but a lot of existing sailors and marine architects.
Chief among them, Pete Shearney, who's here with us.
Yeah, Pete's here today. And we're trying to make sure that knowledge doesn't get lost and it gets transferred to the next generation. So if you're going to design the sort of 21st century sailing vessel, then you pretty much had to be able to design a 19th century sailing vessel too, because a lot of the rules haven't changed about the way the water and the wind works.
So talk us through that a bit, Pete. So, you know, you're starting off with old boats rather than starting from scratch. Why go through that route?
One of the main reasons, of course, is financial. Cape became available at a reasonable price, and it was a worthwhile boat to restore, but also the learning, the training of the young guys now. Bernard has two apprentices now, and hopefully as we go down the track, we'll be able to train more people to work in wood, work on boat building, which has the possibility of creating a little niche market on Waiheke for good solid wooden boat builders, because there's not too many of them left anymore. And so this is just also for our long-term plan, which is to be able to carry freight, but also for the community and the young ones. It gives them an interest and hopefully develops a small industry for the island.
So I wonder, there's also, you know, in recent times been a bit of a resurgence of interest in seagoing waka and, you know, Polynesian sailing vessels, you know, and I suppose retracing some of those migration routes across Polynesia and so on. Have you had any kind of tie-in with that or investigated, you know, looking at that kind of Polynesian sailing kind of approach?
Well, anybody who's seen the Bernard's catamaran, the
flying carpet.
The flying carpet will recognize a similarity between that and our waka. It's a two masts either side. It's a very, if you come from a Western sailing convention, it would look quite original and dramatic, but actually if you come from the Polynesian sailing school, I think it has a lot of recognizable stuff in it. And Bernard's got some various ideas about what a major freight vessel would look like, and it would be for carrying freight, but it would also be for training people in tall ship sailing as well. When we first came up with this project, that was the initial ambition, and we did some calculations and we worked out we'd need a couple of million dollars to make that happen. And one of the things with the Kate is to demonstrate for a tenth of that price or 1% of that price that we've actually got the skills and the ambition and the technology to do it on a smaller scale. Hopefully then that will give people the confidence to go, you know, yes, I really want to back this big time.
So where do you go from here? So you've secured a boat. You know, what happens next?
Fundraising. So our first fundraiser is a show at the Waiheke Cinema, and it's happening on the 22nd of November. And so we're selling tickets now. They're available online on the Waiheke Working Sail site, which you can just Google Waiheke Working Sail and get there and order up a ticket, or any of the board members have tickets to sell. And so we'll be doing a gathering at 7 p.m. on the 22nd of November at Artworks, and then an 8 p.m. showing of Master and Commander, which seemed appropriate. And a chance for just briefly to hear from Bernard and also from the two apprentices, because that is the heart of this program, is passing these skills on to the next generation.
Yeah. And so when do you hope that you'll you know, be under sail? You know, wind behind you, heading up the gulf towards the barrier.
How long is a piece of string?
Well, you're the sailor, you should know.
So if somebody gave us $200,000 today,
yeah,
we would probably be able to complete that project within 2 years.
Right.
If you gave us $20,000 today, then we would make a decent amount of progress in that time, and then we'd obviously can run out and then we need to do a bit more. So the project's divided up into achievable chunks, and the first achievable chunk is to get the Kate seaworthy again as a hull. That means replacing various timbers and doing work on the stern. And actually, one of the other little side projects that we've had as part of that is reclaiming wood from the island. So we went on a working bee last month to recover some very nice old tree trunks. They were
Japanese cedar.
Mm. And in the traditional way, because they were up in a coppice on the hill, they were felled and then they were dragged down the hillside to the water and then towed around the island by sea. And now they're sort of being waiting for be prepared into be spars for the project.
You must look back and go, you know, those were the days when the other end of the island was full of trees which were cut down for boat building. I mean, that was part of how the economy on the island started, really, wasn't it?
It's true. I think one of the difficulties of talking about something like going back to working sail is that the infrastructure has gone. All of the infrastructure is set up for making things out of glass fiber, powering things with diesel engines and such like. So you're starting from a low base. But I think we can actually start to work with other groups who are interested in the same sort of long-term goals to say, well, it is worth planting wood for not just for boats, but for on-island carpentry and things like that. You've got projects like the men's shed looking at developing those same sort of skills. So it's gradually, like a little step at a time, trying to build up a wide range of skills and infrastructure that all support the same long-term goals.
Great. Well, good luck with it, and let's hope that someone walks in with $200,000.
You're here.
Yeah. Just before we do go, a couple of $100,000 would be lovely, yes, we'll come on in. But the other thing is we're always looking for good native wood that we can use, copper screws, brass screws. So if anyone's got that type of stuff underneath their house doing nothing, give us a call.
Excellent.
We'd be very interested in it.
And we have on the website the ability to donate. There's a button for Give a Little. And so, you know, whatever people feel moved to give, a one-off or a regular subscription. And there is a wish list on the website so that if people are wondering what they can, you know, what we need, we have it there on the wish list.
It just makes me think of, you know, reading all those books about the early days of, you know, the first kind of European boats coming into New Zealand and the trade for nails and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of hard to escape the romance of it all, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Millie, Andrew and Peter from Waiheke Working Sails, so thank you very much for joining us here on our fifth birthday.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
One of the features here of the show, Island Life, is our regular slot, the Opinionated Islanders, and they're with me now, and hold on, we'll just turn on all the mics. There we go, so I think we should have them there.
You got me? Yeah, there we go.
We're good.
That's me.
Alan and Alex, the Opinionated Islanders, and nice to have you along here today, because right back when we started the station, there's a couple of shows which have been with us right from the very beginning. This morning, Saturday's Breakfast, was one of our very first shows, in fact, the very first show to go out on our opening 5 years ago, and then followed up by Island Life, the two shows that have been with us throughout the whole time, and way back at the start, right at the very start, we got put the Opinionated Islanders together. And you've
it's
been
amazing to think
time.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've all passed a lot of water under a lot of bridges since
we've
then.
We've spouted for 5 years and we haven't changed the world, or have we?
Well, maybe.
Oh, I feel we have, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, way back when we did this and we put it together, the whole idea was to get together two people who were kind of semi-articulate.
that was a mistake. Yeah, we got the wrong two.
Yeah, we got that wrong. But both kind of used to expressing their opinions in public and had divergent views. So we cast about and we got Alan because, good kind of gun-toting right-wing guy. And,
that's me, yes.
And Alex representing the more kind of liberal green side of the island.
I think Alan's been faking it all along because he's actually quite a reasonable bloke.
So, so since that time, we've been casting, there we go. All right, since that time, we've been casting our eye over what's been happening on the island and, what's going on and sharing your views on it.
What a lot of fun it's been, yes. I mean, occasionally we have had shows where there just wasn't anything happening on the island and we've had to sort of cast our net a little wider and talk about national and international issues, but, things actually going on in New Zealand. But generally, there's always been something to talk about, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, now what, 5 years ago, the last community board was still in action on the island. So
that's right, yeah. The super city.
Before the super city, yeah. Yes. That was back in the days when Noble Angelo was on the community board.
Well, one of our consistent themes has been the bemoaning of the loss of eccentrics on the island. You know, there's a lot of people.
Really?
We often talk about Noble Angelo and how we sort of miss him, inverted commas. And, there's also another thing with the island. Like, a lot of people still see the island as a sort of Mike Morgan type of place, but Mike Morgan is no longer on the island, you know.
Well, there will be people around who don't know who you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mike Morgan, the barefooted, leather-clad, heavily bearded painter.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Kind of looked like a garden gnome at a biker rally. Extraordinary guy. Always wore bare feet, on occasions when he had to smarten up, he would simply paint shoes on his feet. Mm. A remarkable guy.
He's living in Waihee now, and I remember him saying he moved there because there was a big long drop in the backyard. But the real reason was much cheaper land, of course. Yeah.
So are there others who have kind of departed the island over the last 5 years that you miss?
Yeah, Joe Waite. I remember old Joe Waite. And then yes. There's Eric the Red.
Eric the Red, yes. Yeah. But I think there is something about this community that whenever we lose an eccentric through, moving away or natural attrition, we do seem to acquire a few more.
Gain a few.
Yeah. There's just something about this place. Eccentrics are going to keep on moving here.
Well, maybe that's our branding our international branding could be, Eccentricity Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many other places have branded themselves as Wedding Islands or Vineyard Islands or Olive. You know, that's all a bit, what's the word for it? It's been done before. But,
I think one of the things that's always going to make this place fairly unique is that unlike other resorts around the country like Queenstown, Wanaka and places like that that get two goes at a tourist season, we only really get the one. And, you can see it outside today.
Yeah, today
it's all
day
starting.
One.
But this is somewhere which really quietens down a lot after Easter. And all of a sudden, the great big Remuera tractors have gone. You walk down the street and you know everybody. Getting around the supermarket takes you twice as long because you're stopping and saying hello to people you know. That sense of community comes back.
Yeah.
No, and I find it's very often it's those times that we've had the most interesting things to talk about because during the summer, the Waiheke community tends to keep its head down. We all find our own little places to spend the summer away from all the noise and bustle. So it's really during the winter that the community actually really starts to communicate with one another, and we find we have more stuff to talk about on the radio.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like we have this unresolved relationship with the visitors. I'm cool with visitors, but I don't know if everyone is, you know. that does a good raspberry.
Yeah, I was actually in the I was in the pharmacy yesterday, and saying to the girl behind the counter, "Yes, you know, here we go. It's tourist season again. Suddenly, all these outsiders are coming in." And this lady standing next to me said, "I'm sorry, I'm one of those. I do hope we don't cause too much of a problem." And I said, "No, look, honestly, I come from the original seaside resort, so I do know the form. And we, of course, we welcome the visitors with their cash, their travelers' checks, and their very many internationally recognised credit cards. Yeah. We have to put up with them. They're to be fleeced."
I think the understanding should be based on the premise that if you come here, you take on our values rather than bring your values. You
know? Yes.
So I must admit, I've written about it a few times in the column about, you know, don't bring road rage or trolley rage in the supermarket. Don't bring it here, because we don't do that here. So I think if we can just keep that message alive, we're cool. You know, you're welcome, but what you're coming to experience is our values, not, don't bring yours. Yeah.
Yes, well, we also had that idea some time back, didn't we, of the television program of the Waiheke Eye for the Auckland guy,
where underdressed down,
where rather smartly dressed city visitors, the kind of people who buy their beachwear from the same outfit as that they buy their business suits, when they turn up at Matiatia, they're sort of descended on by a pack of Waiheke style consultants.
Yeah, we could fix them. Yeah,
who then sort of mock them for the fact that they're smartly dressed and that their clothes actually match and haven't got holes in them. And these people are then bundled into a vehicle and taken on a tour of Waiheke's exciting op shops, where they are then dressed up in third-hand Hawaiian shirts and cut-off jeans
because
and jandals.
That's the one thing you can spot a mile away, is the sartorial accoutrement of the visitor, as well as their vehicular appendages, you know.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of looking smart.
Yeah, which is another thing that's happened to the island, I think, in the last few years, is we used to be sort of agnostic about status, but now there seems to be quite a focus on status on the island. You know, you can see it being talked about a lot. Status matters, you know.
Really? Yeah. I haven't noticed that.
No, within a new element to the island, I would say. The visitors are becoming more and more sort of highfalutin. You see it in this red herring about who takes control of the beaches. You know, the same people that fuss about people from ordinary backgrounds coming to visit our beaches, they get very excited about that. But there seems to be no fuss at all about the proliferation of sea legs on the beaches, because the sea legs represent a sort of level of status, whereas ordinary visitors don't. And the one is good and the one is to be campaigned against. Yeah.
Yes, I noticed the opposition to the Marine Reserve is still going on in the newspapers.
Yeah, bless them.
How much have they spent?
Well, they could have spent that on the research and to find the best place. It could have been a positive approach rather than a negative one, yeah. But anyway, we'll get around that.
So, I mean, you know, when you look back over 5 years, I mean, we've spent a lot of time on local politics. You know, we don't need to relitigate all of that today, but obviously that's been something that, you know, we've talked about quite a lot. But, I mean, what have been the other big things that pop into your mind that, you know, kind of vexed your thoughts over the last 5 years?
Well, I think it was about 5 years ago, wasn't it, that the Waiheke Marketplace was sold to Fairfax?
Yes.
We've talked a lot about media, haven't we? Yeah.
We have, yes. Well, it is always interesting to look at the way the newspapers are run on the island. The Gulf News, bless it, continues on its chosen path and does so very well. But we did lose that community feel from the marketplace, which, of course, I remember when that was first started up, because I was working at Rainbow Copy at the time when it was first being put together in the back shop there. And it had this wonderful sort of straightforward editorial policy of, "Oh, I say, isn't everything jolly wonderful?" And we get an editorial every single week from George Gardner to that effect, and it was rather nice. And so I thought the sale of the marketplace to Fairfax was, there's something of a loss for the island, because the marketplace always used to have something to contribute, and now it doesn't. It's just this rather boring advertising sheet that has no charm or style to it.
Yeah,
so that's something I think we've
talking
lost.
About contribution, they really did nothing with the election campaign, which would have been interesting to get a different viewpoint. Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of which, I mean, we didn't get to talk about this last time, of course, because neither paper had emerged when we were on here talking about the election result. But I did find the marketplace's approach to it, that in a week which had seen one of the most dramatic
they
election
couldn't make
results,
the front page, yeah.
They were talking about parking spaces at Matiti on the front page. As I said at the time, if I wasn't laughing so hard, I'd have taken the time to find that fairly contemptible. But
no, well, that's the thing.
I think it's a measure of how unimportant the marketplace has become, and yeah. I think that's a bit of a shame.
There was an interesting valedictory article in the Gulf News 2 weeks ago by Martin Moore, a young journalist who did some sort of time here, internship. Well, he was being paid, but
he was rather good.
He was a very good writer, and his little valedictory piece I thought was great. He said, "Never lose your passion, Waiheke. You know, keep fussing about everything."
Yes, absolutely.
And what you're saying is the marketplace doesn't quite fuss as it should.
No, if there's a less passionate publication, I would hate to see it. Mm. It